and say good morning. We're certainly thankful for this another opportunity to be in the Lord's house, and certainly thankful for the good number that's come out to be with us this morning. We are so thankful for your presence this morning, and so thankful to see that the Lord has kept each and every one of us safe throughout this week. Thankful for the good Sunday school lesson that we had this morning, and for Brother Scott for studying that out and the good thoughts that we got out of it. And thankful for the song selection and the piano playing this morning. I tell you what, I'm so thankful that there's times that I can go back in my life and see that there was Jesus right on time. I'm thankful for that. You know, I've always put it like this. My wife, she's one of my dearest friends here on this earth. I love her to death. And I tell you what, I'm so thankful that the Lord has brought us people in our lives that we can consider them friends as well. But you know, during even the darkest of storms in our life, sometimes those friends won't be there. But I tell you what, Jesus is. And I'm thankful to not only say that, but I'm thankful to be saved by the grace of God this morning, stand before you saved by the grace of God. And I can assure you that when you get saved, Jesus is the bestest friend you will ever have in this life. And I'm thankful for that. Once again, we're thankful for everybody coming out. We're thankful to see Sister Kathleen and her and Brother Brad's children with us this morning. And certainly thankful for all our other visitors. Before we go any further in the Lord's service, we do feel the need to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. We do ask this morning to be mindful of the Spirit, and let us just be sensitive to what God wants done this morning. You know, this is the Lord's service, and I believe all we should do and what our mindset should be is to give God all the honor and glory this morning. So before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, I wonder at this time if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts, a prayer request, a word of praise, or anything that needs to be said or done this morning. Before we go further in the service, we'd like to ask if there might be anything upon anybody's hearts this morning that needs to be said or done. If not, then we'll go into what the Lord has placed on our hearts. You would turn with me to the fourth chapter of the book of John. The fourth chapter of the book of John. Now I'm going to start with the first verse there. And we're probably going to do a little longer reading than what we usually do, but just bear with us. For the fourth chapter of the book of John, and that first verse, says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. That was reading the 1st through the 14th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of John. Earlier this week, as I was headed to work, I was listening to the radio station. And there was a song that came on that I had never heard of, but it really pricked my heart, if I would say that. And in the song it says, I want to do more than just drink the water. I want to bring somebody else to the well. And that's going to be our thought for this morning, is bringing somebody else to the well. Amen. You know, we read over in the book of Matthew and read on the sermon about the Sermon on the Mount. And I believe Jesus was teaching to his disciples there. I believe that he was teaching them and preparing them a work that needed to be done. And in one of the lessons that he had taught there on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill, and it cannot be hid. And we see, a matter of fact, we've talked a little bit about the darkness and the trying of times that might soon be coming to God's people. But I tell you this, that does not mean that we need to relax on our responsibilities. Jesus said, Ye are the light of the world. And folks, we need to let that light shine before this dark and sinful world. Even if it means them casting us into prison or for us to die, folks, I tell you, we need to let our light so shine. You know, I was thinking about Paul earlier in Sunday school, and I believe that there was a miraculous change in Paul whenever the Lord saved his soul, to the point that he wanted to go anywhere that God would send him to tell people about Jesus Christ. We read about the trying times that Paul went through, how he was cast into prison, how he was shipwrecked, about how he was beaten. And folks, I tell you, we read how Paul, I believe, is to the church at Philippi, but I could be wrong, but he had told one of the churches there, he said, All that is that the world would count loss, I counted gain for Christ. I counted gain for Christ. This world doesn't mean much of anything. We read in the book of Luke, you know, Sister Haley was talking about money and everything. And folks, I tell you what, there's times that if I'm not careful, I find myself being greedy, being money-driven, you know, trying to find out how much more money I can put in my bank account. And folks, I tell you what, at the end of the day, what profits a man if he shall gain this whole world, but yet loses his own soul? What does it profit a man if we try to build up our wealth, build up our bank accounts to as big as they could get the fancy houses, get the fancy cars? What does that profit a man if he should gain all that, but yet not know Jesus Christ? What shall it profit a man if he gains all of this and dies lost and unsaved? Nothing. Matter of fact, really, for us that have been saved, really, this worldliness doesn't have much of value to it, to be honest with you. You know, there's times that I'll look at my wife and I'll say, man, maybe if we just have a little bit more money. I'm a big sports car fanatic. I love sports cars, and I love seeing all the new and fancy Corvettes driving down the interstate. I love seeing all the Lamborghinis and the Mustangs that I see on the internet. But folks, I tell you what, if I never even gain one of those in my life, whenever I die, I'll be just as happy, because one day the Lord saved my soul. I'll be just as happy. You know, matter of fact, I told my wife not too long ago that I just came to a point to where I'm just content with my life. You know, Paul, and that's okay to come to a point of being content, because Paul even spoke about to the church at Philippi, he said, I've learned in whatsoever state that I am in to just be content with it. And I've learned in my life to just be content. I don't really care. You know, I told my wife the other day, I said, as long as our bills get paid and as long as we got food on the table, that's fine with me. That's just fine. I don't care about all the, you know, I love seeing the sports cars, but be honest with you, I really don't care if I never purchase one and it sits in my driveway. I love seeing all the fancy houses, but I tell you what, I don't care if I purchase one and not use 11 of the 12 bedrooms that it has. Because I've just learned to be content, because through this life, as what one of the songs in our hymn book says, I am just a pilgrim in this life, because this world, it is not my final home. It's not my destination. It's just a stay place. I'm just a pilgrim that's just traveling and wandering through. I just pitched up my tent to just stay here for a couple of days. And folks, I tell you, when the Lord tells me to come home, I'll be ready for it. I'll be ready for that. But folks, I tell you what, not everybody can say the same thing. That's why it's important for the church to be the light of this world. I believe it's just as important. We read, I believe it's the 6th chapter of John, when Jesus told his disciples that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You know, it's important to not make this service about ourselves, but about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I know I'm going everywhere, but just give me a moment. But folks, I tell you what, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord saved my soul, but it's not the job for us as God's people, as His church, to keep Jesus and His gospel hoarded up in this four-sided building. It is our job to take Him out in the world where people might see Him. You know, and I tell you what, I think it's good if people come in and hear the gospel. I'm thankful for the lost souls that wander in and out of this church building and hear the gospel. But folks, when it comes to a point that people just don't seem content with going to the church house, it's time for us, there'll be time for us to take the gospel out there where people can hear it. I tell you what, this pandemic, you know, I know people say that I wish things would go back to normal. Well, I tell you what, It has caused the gospel. It's finally caused some of the churches. It's caused the gospel to go out into the world, which is what Jesus told us to do in the first place. I'm thankful for the ones that do Facebook Live and the ones that want to continue doing the Facebook Live services. Because folks, I tell you what, you never know who's going to log on to that video and God just might touch their hearts. Because I believe God can touch their hearts more than just this church house. I believe God can use us in more ways than in just inside His church house. And I'm not saying that to throw disrespect on the holy day that we should come in and gather ourselves. I believe that's biblical and I believe that's essential. But folks, gathering ourselves and being a church isn't spreading the gospel and preaching the gospel and testifying and praising the Lord isn't just a Sunday morning job. It's not a part-time job. I tell you what, there's a statement that I had heard years ago, and I believe it still holds true. Part-time workers get part-time pay. Full-time workers get that full-time pay. If we want to see God pour out His abundant blessings, and folks, I tell you what, if we want to start seeing God just move about us, we need to stop being the part-timers and start being full-time workers for God. Now, when we read here about the woman at the well, I want us to notice at least one thing. Jesus told His disciples, He said, I must need to go through Samaria. You know, they was departing, the Bible says they left Judea to go into Galilee. While they was walking and traveling, He said, I must need to go through Samaria. I have to go through Samaria. There could have been a whole lot easier ways to go unto Galilee, but Jesus said, I need to go to Samaria. Now, I believe that God knows all things. And I believe that Jesus knew who He was going to meet at that well. And I believe that Jesus knew the exact time that she was going to be there. And Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria. So, you know, they sat there at Jesus sat there at the well, and that woman finally came unto him, and Jesus asked, He said, give me to drink. And she said, well, what do you, a Jew, have anything to do with me, a Samaritan woman? Because you, the Jews, have nothing to do with us at all. And Jesus said, well, if you knew who it was asking you for a drink, you'd be asking me for a drink. And you know what? Then you go through that, this whole story about, I believe, how He got personal with the woman there at the well. He said, go and call thy husband. Well, I don't have any husbands. Well, you said that you don't have husbands, but you have five husbands. Jesus got personal with her. And I'm so glad that one day on November the 12th of 2006 that God got personal with me. And I believe when it comes to salvation, it's got to be personal between the sinner and the Savior. It's got to be personal. Now, us as His church, we can't save anybody. Preachers, deacons, lay members, whatever, we can't save anybody. But I tell you what, we can lead them to that well where they can drink of that water of life. Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you will thirst. But if you drink of the water that I shall give you, you won't ever thirst again. Same thing, I believe, going on through the book of John. I can't remember what chapter it is, but he was talking about being the bread of life. And matter of fact, it's the sixth chapter of John, if I'm not wrong. But he was talking about being the bread of life. And he said, if you eat of this bread that I give you, you won't ever have to hunger again. Folks, I tell you what, I'm so glad that one day when the Lord had knocked on my heart and had drawn to me to that altar of repentance, that I came down as thirsty and as hungry, needing something to just fill my desire up. And I tell you this, you can go out in the world trying to look and try to fill that void, try to fill that thirstiness, that hungerness that you have. And folks, I tell you what, you're just going to keep being thirsty and hungry. You're just going to keep going out, swallowing things up that won't fill that void. But folks, I tell you, if you just try the bread of life, if you try the water of life, if you just try Jesus, He will make sure you don't starve or thirst ever again, spiritually speaking. He'll make sure that that won't ever happen. Folks, I tell you, I'm glad that I had my fill one day going down there to that well and drinking of the water of life. And folks, I tell you what, we might not be able to even bring a glass to a lost sinner, but I tell you what, if they're ever come in and they're thirsty and seeking after something, there's a well that leads into the water of life. And I tell you what, it's never empty and it's never full of people. There's always room for more people to come and drink. You know, we read, I believe it was the book of Luke. If you'd give me a minute. I believe it was the book of Luke, how we read about there being a great feast to happen one day, a great supper that would happen in the 14th chapter of Luke. And we read here in the 16th verse, it says, "Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he had bade many." He had invited many to come, "and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden," that were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." And they all with one consent. Now I'll tell you what, in Sunday school this morning, I told a little bit about me growing up and everything, and I tell you this, just to get this out of the way, I was full of excuses growing up as a young boy of why I should not want to go to church. I was full of excuses. Matter of fact, if I knew I could get away with it, I'd try my very best to get away with it. But there was a couple times that I went up to my parents and I said, "Well, my mom, dad, my head's hurting." They said, "Well, take you some ibuprofen, drink you some water, we're going to church." A couple minutes later, "Mom, dad, my stomach's hurting. Well, we got some Sprite there in the fridge. Get you a can, drink it, we're going to church." You know, they showed me the importance of God's house. And they showed me the importance of being a servant of the Lord. They showed me how important it is to serve God, not just on Sunday, but throughout our everyday lives. But now we go here in the Great Supper, and it says, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Just a list of excuses to not go to this table and eat. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done so thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." There's still room today at this great supper. at this feast. There's still room today. I believe today that God is not out of the sailing business. And I believe that as long as God gives us the opportunity and allows this world to stand, there will still be room for many to come and eat and drink and just dine. There's still room to get to know Jesus. Now, today, as God's people, as His church, we see how these things are coming to pass and how people are making an excuse. And it just seems like nobody's interested in the gospel anymore. Nobody's interested in going to church. But folks, I tell you what, we don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to be downhearted. We need to make sure that we keep on keeping on for God. We read in the book of Ephesians how Paul was writing. He said, having done all to stand, you just stand therefore. You just continue to stand for God. All you saints, all you members of the church, all you that have been saved by the grace of God, keep singing, keep praising, keep praying, keep testifying to the goodness of the Lord, because one day that rock that we're beating against is going to start breaking and it's going to start cracking. And one day that rock that we're just beating against, if we keep marching on for God, I believe God will bless His people and the advancement of His kingdom. I believe God will bless His people with seeing souls get saved. And folks, I tell you what, I would love nothing more than to see a soul get saved. I tell you what, we even read about how marvelous it is for lost people to get saved. How it's just like the shepherd. He saw the 99 one day, but you know, he wasn't content with the 99 that he had in that fence. He had to go out and just find that one lost sheep that was straying away. You know what? He found him. And everybody rejoiced, and all the angels in heaven rejoiced with them. Folks, I tell you what, it is a precious thing when a soul gets saved. And therefore, in this fight, in this battle that we are in on a day-to-day basis with Satan and the rulers and the powers of darkness, as the Bible says, we have no room and no place to just throw our hands and give up. No room and no place to do so. Because you never know. You know, I tell you what, you might be the shyest of people. And the Lord might lay something on your heart to just stand up and say something, or to might give your testimony, or to sing. You might be the shyest of people, but I tell you what, there's a reason the Lord placed that job on your heart. You never know who it's going to touch, and you never know who the Lord might take those words and just might touch it in somebody's heart. You never know. You might have the very keys to the service this morning that just might cause this place or this roof to just blow off. Let's not waste our time in the household of God. We read how Paul was talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he said, brethren, just pray for us that the Lord, the word of the Lord, would just have free course, that just be freely able to move amongst us. Folks, that's what we need this morning, is the word of the Lord to just freely able to move amongst His people. Amen. Now, you know, there was a song that I've sort of just been humming around at the house this past week.
I start thinking about all the good brothers and sisters and the saints of old that have already laid this life down to be on with the Lord in glory. There was one man, one preacher growing up. He was there the day that I got saved. He was the member of the church, and my dad had pastored, and he meant a lot to me. There was a song that he always sang, and it said, "My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today?" We read in the Bible in the 10th chapter of Luke how the harvest, it's white and it's ready, but there's nobody laboring. We need to labor out in this world. We need laborers, and we need to ask God to just send laborers out in this world, because that harvest out there, it's white and it's ready, but it's waiting for the reapers to go and to pick out that which was sowed. It's ready for laborers to go in. Are you trying to be a laborer for God this morning? Or did you just come in just to fill up a seat in the church house? With all the lost souls that come in and lost souls that we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis, we need to lead somebody to that well. You know, I tell you what, there's a brother, y'all call him Brother Todd, Brother Anthony Ping, he's come the last couple for a couple times here, and I tell you what, I've enjoyed having conversation with him about the gospel, and I tell you what, it just seems like he's just enthusiastic about spreading the gospel, just enthusiastic about trying to tell somebody about Jesus. And I went away last Sunday and I told my wife, I said, I wish I had that same exact enthusiasm. And I tell you what, it's not the fact that I can't have it. It's the fact that deep down inside, personally, it starts with a want to. We want to tell somebody about Jesus. If we want to be enthusiastic about spreading the gospel, if we want to see lost souls get saved, if we just want to be the light that God has called us to be, it starts with a want to in the heart. You know, it starts with us going home and praying and asking the Lord to get our hearts right. Because I tell you what, even though you might be saved by the grace of God, you can stray far from Him. We read how Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and He said, "In vain this people worships me, honoring me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." You know, we often ask the lost soul what their heart condition is with God. But those of you who might be saved, what's your heart like with God? What's my heart like with God? Are we as close as we can, or are we just content? Are we comfortable with the way things are going? We read in the book of Revelation about the church at Laodicea, how the Lord went into the church there and He said, "I wish you was cold, I wish you was hot, but you're lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, I have no choice but to spew you out of my mouth." It's just like this. I like having a nice pot of hot coffee in the morning. Sometimes in the afternoon, I like having some cold coffee. But I hate the taste of lukewarm coffee. It's nasty. It's not good. I tell you what, a lukewarm Christian, a lukewarm saved individual, a lukewarm church does not taste good in the mouth of God. Are we cold? Are we hot? Are you lukewarm? Are you just comfortable? Are you just at ease with the way the things are going? At some point, if you're comfortable, we're lukewarm then. If we're just comfortable, we need to do our very best to get as close and to draw as close to God as we can. You know, I remember the book of Exodus, how Moses went on top of Mount Sinai there with God. I believe the Bible said that he spent 40 days alone with God. And whenever he came down off that mountain there, his face, it was just shining bright. He even had to cover it because it was just this blinding light. Folks, I tell you what, if we spent a little alone time with God throughout our day-to-day life, we would shine as like Moses as well. And that's what we need, is to be shining. We don't need to be lukewarm. We don't need to be cold, really. We need to be hot and on fire for God. I had a good old preacher brother tell me one time, you know, we read in the Bible about how God is a consuming fire. And good old preaching brother told me one time, he said, "Brother Barber, if you ever feel a little cold, just get a little closer to that fire. Just get a little closer to God." Folks, let's do our very best to get a little closer to God. And let's lead somebody else to that well where Jesus is sitting at, waiting to bring them and to give them that water of everlasting life. Let us be the ones to lead them. As my thoughts have left my mind and heart, I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. I pray above all that the Lord was just lifted up for a few moments of time. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. And while we're singing, let us all just stand and sing. And think about the words that were said this morning. Ponder them to our hearts.
Turn to page 21.